May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Alpha Omega, in my languages, te aripa me te omeka, first and last, te tuatahi, te otinga, beginning and end, te timatanga, te mutunga. And I can't help but reflect back on earlier chapters, the beginning of the John Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. In my culture, we have te whakaaro, the thought comes first. Te marama, te wānanga, an opportunity to sit and reflect and think, to try and seek understanding, te marama, before you utter the Word. And so I've reflected on that as I was putting together my sermon for this service, about that practice we have, that in Scripture God hovered. And it's in that hovering we find ourselves today. Because today in the church, it is a year, and the church year is a day of waiting, a time for reflection, a time to stop, to ponder, to listen quietly, to pray, to feel, and to experience, to wait, and to wander. As a woman, it takes me back to that blessing many of us have to giving birth. We get to the third stage of labour that we have been blessed with, and to then preparing ourselves for that joy and that amazement that we know through our breathing and our pausing will come. We've waited that whole 9 months for that moment. And in that moment, we pause. We're encouraged by our supporters, breathe, and so we're frantically going, and then, don't stop, now push. And we know that through that pain that we find, because some of us are impatient, we know that there's a point to it, that all will be okay if we endure that pain that we're so blessed with, that something amazing is going to happen and some joy is going to come for our choice and our blessing of giving birth. That's how I felt and reflected on this time we're in here. Because in the sequence of things, on Thursday just gone was Ascension Day, the day Jesus rose into heaven. And in spite of the wet weather, a couple of brave souls came to church that day, and we celebrated that Christian festival together. Next Sunday is Pentecost, or also known as Whit Sunday, the day the Holy Spirit visits the disciples with power. An opportunity for us to dress in red, the colour of that day. Today, though, is a waiting day. A day to reflect upon all that Jesus had said, all that he had taught, and all that he had done. In some ways, it may seem to closely resemble Holy Saturday, that space between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The disciples at this moment felt confused, felt alone, felt lost, were wondering what was going to happen next. We're wondering if this was the end or just a beginning, as Jesus had promised. They probably felt frightened, alone, insecure, amazed, and perplexed. They had just seen Jesus rise into heaven. They had just seen their friend, their teacher, their Lord go away from them. This was a glorious event, for now they were certain that Jesus was with the Father. Now they knew for sure that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Now there could be no doubt that Jesus and the Father were really one. But then on the other hand, now they were alone, without their friend, without their leader, without their companion. Yes, today in the lives of the disciples was a day that was really in between times, between the time when they had Jesus with them and before the time when they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This was an awkward time for the disciples. It was a time for them to think about the words of Jesus, to dwell on his teaching, to recall his promises for them. So what were they to do while they waited for the Holy Spirit, the power from heaven which was promised to them? According to today's gospel reading, Jesus left them with the knowledge that everything which had happened was part of the Father's plan. And he prayed for them, prophetically, that they would remain united in all the turmoil which was to come. It seems then that it was important for Jesus to know that they would be together, supporting one another in his absence and working together. And we know that in death comes that for ourselves, a gathering of support that enables us not to feel alone. In some respects, the church we have today, full of committees and group leadership, is based on the apostolic model because although leaders emerged such as Peter and Paul, there were many occasions in their ministry where they consulted other apostles on certain issues. Church by committee is based on a biblical model. The reason for this is explained in St. Paul's letters. Paul goes into some detail about how a church community should look. It should contain people with differing gifts, all working under the same faith, the same baptism, the same God, but bringing to their work different talents and experiences. We touched upon this at Parish Council this week. Paul goes on to express his intention that he is not looking for a church full of identical people. We are not clones. Rather, he wishes to encourage a church of equality without uniformity, a place where people are valued in equal esteem for their input while recognising that everyone has different gifts to offer. Each church in our diocese works within its own tradition, culture and environment, just as Anglican dioceses work autonomously all over Australia and indeed throughout the world. This makes Anglican churches come in many shapes and sizes, and in some places would be unrecognisable to us. However, they are all Anglican. I know what it is to have a service in a different language. Same service, different language. I know how to do the service in my own language, from the woe to go. I've been in a parish in a church in Los Angeles where the service was all in Spanish. I'm not a speaker of Spanish, but I knew the flow and the words of that liturgy. The basic tenets of faith, baptism, church order and relationship with God are the same. And we are all working towards bringing about the kingdom of God through our mission and ministry. We are all equally important, yet not identical or uniform. Even closer to home, I'm sure we can think of examples of the differences that exist among the people here in our own parish. Yet somehow these differences can be harnessed and used to achieve great things. If we all enjoyed the same activities and wanted to do everything in the same way, our church community would become very inward looking. It is because we are different and have different ideas and have this craziness to bring this Māori woman in to be your priest in charge, our different likes and dislikes and experiences, that we have such a diverse community in our parish, And so much is achieved in Christ's name as a result of this. But despite the diversity, there is one thing that holds all the activities people together. The church. We are linked to the church and take our place as part of the ministry and mission of this parish. We're following Paul's pattern by being equally important without being identical. The danger arises when we forget that each element, not just the bits I do or you do, are vital to the church community. Having been given different gifts, we have been called also to use them in God's service. And preventing others from using their gifts is not really embracing the spirit of a diverse church. It happens that church communities have difficulty with this issue all the time, and we all know that. People falling out with one another over all sorts of issues, and sadly, sometimes this can lead to people leaving the church altogether. When this happens, we've missed the point of Christ drawing people together to work in this way. It is not only a practical solution to running a big organisation, being that church is first and foremost an expression of our love for God, and the playing out of Christian community relationships is an exercise in maturity of faith. Paul touched on it when he said, we should not be like infants, rather we should be fully mature adults. Furthermore, reading so often in Paul's letters, his advice for smooth-running churches reminds us that from the very outset, Christians disagreed about so many things. What has kept the church working for the last 2,000 years or so is what we have in common. Love of God and faith in Jesus Christ. And an acknowledgement that we cannot do it alone. We not only need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we also need one another, our fellow Christians, to work with us like the first disciples did. Like them, after the ascension, we do not have Jesus in bodily form sitting among us telling us what to do. We have to rely on the promptings of the Spirit and the prayers. Advice and support of each other is equally important Christians in the sight of God, with different but complementary talents and experiences to share. Let the words of Jesus ring true today as we pray that we may all be one in Christ. Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.